1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And Kirk, you don't mind doing you doing that? Okay, great. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. All right, while you're turning there, I want to ask you a couple questions and this is going to serve as a review from last week. Those of you that were here, I want to ask you a couple questions. Those of you who were not here, listen closely, and you'll know what we covered last week. All right, how many Christians, those who know the Lord, how many believers have been given a spiritual gift to be used for the Lord? How many Christians? Everyone. If you're a Christian, you've been given at least one gift, maybe multiple gifts, okay? And then the second thing I wanted to ask you, when did God give us our spiritual gift to be used for Him? Good, excellent. The moment that we got saved and the moment that we trusted Christ, that very moment, even though I didn't know when I got saved I was getting a spiritual gift, I had no clue that was happening. I learned that later as I grew and as I studied. But it was happening. You got a gift when you got saved. And then the next question is this. Is a spiritual gift the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace? Are they the same thing? Good. No, they're not. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So to say, well, my gift is love, or my gift is peace, or my gift is patience. Those are great, and that's the fruit of the Spirit, but that's not a spiritual gift, all right? They're different than that. So we learn that the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit give is different than the fruit of the Spirit that He manifests through us. We're supposed to have all the fruit. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit and walking with the Lord, we manifest love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. Those are things that we should all have, you know, and that we should all manifest. Whereas the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, you'll probably only have one or two or three of those, okay? And so they're different. All right, let me ask you this. Do you receive your spiritual gift as you grow in Christ as a reward? No, you get your spiritual gift the moment you get saved. It's not this reward, you know, that God dangles out in front of you and says, okay, if you grow and if you're faithful to church and if you read your Bible every day, I'm going to give you a gift to serve me. No, it happens at salvation. They're not rewards, okay? All right, next question. Are spiritual gifts the same thing as natural talents? No. They are not. Now, they may coincide with each other, but they're different. For example, Caleb Rich, who leads the singing and plays the guitar on Sunday morning, someone may say, well, I know his spiritual gift, it's music. And we're going to learn that's not one of the spiritual gifts that the Bible lists, is music. Now, his gift is not music. That's a talent. He's got an obvious talent for that, but that's not his spiritual gift. Now, having said that, music may be a way for him to express that gift that he's been given. It's an outward expression of the gift he has, maybe. But music itself is not his gift. So natural talents and gifts are not one and the same. We saw last week, and this is the last thing I'll review, and we'll get into some new ground. We saw last week that spiritual gifts involve all three members of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Question: who is it that bestows to us our spiritual gift to serve the Lord? Holy Spirit, good. And then who is it that enables us to minister that gift, to find a place to serve and to use that gift? The Son, good, Jesus. And then who is it that gives the results? God the Father, right. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, getting into to the lesson tonight, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and their relationship to the believer. I know some of you are anxious to get into the gifts, and I am too. And we're going to do that. We're going to go through them one by one, all the different gifts. And it's going to be neat because there's going to be one week when you're going to say, well, boy, that's not me. And then you're going to have another week and say, well, that's not me. And then there'll be a week where you'll go, that's me. you know, and that's my gift. And boy, a light will go on, and it'll be wonderful. Then there may be another week where you say, well, that's not me. I praise God for people that have that gift, but that's not me. And then there may be another week where you say, that's not me. But then there may be another week where you say, well, that's me. Because you may have several gifts. You may have 2-3 gifts, okay? But it'll be neat. You're going to discover your gift. But before we do that, before we get into the gifts, I want to lay a foundation. I want to make sure that you understand what spiritual gifts are, what they're not, and how they relate to you as a believer, and how they relate to the church, how they relate maybe to your friends, your spouse, your family. And we're going to see some things, some characteristics of the gifts. You know, it was interesting that I taught on this years ago, and I did a survey. And I did what I did last week. I said, I want you to write down what you think your gift is. And it was interesting because we had about approximately 350 people that did that. They filled, and I had them turn it in. Actually, I didn't have you do that last week. I had them write down what they thought their gift or gifts were, and then I had them turn it in. And I went through that, and as I went through it, I discovered that 103 of the slips basically put no clue. You know, they didn't have a clue. They didn't even know what to write. They just said, I don't have a clue, and turned it 103 out of 350. Then 105 wrote something, but it wasn't a real gift listed in the scriptures. In other words, it might have been like love, patience, you know, one of the fruit, or something else, music, or, you know, things that aren't really a legitimate spiritual gift, 105. 47 wrote down something that was not a gift, but maybe closely related to a gift. 79 listed a genuine gift that's in the Bible. So out of almost 350 people, only 79 out of 350 wrote down a legitimate spiritual gift. So I think that there's an obvious problem. People don't know their gift. That's an obvious problem, I think, in the church. And that's why a lot of people get frustrated, because they're trying to do things that they're not gifted to do. And they get frustrated, they get aggravated, or they get aggravated at other people, you know. And so that's a problem. But I think that there's even a deeper problem. And that is that most Christians don't even know what a spiritual gift is. And I'll be honest with you, I'll be quite frank, I didn't expect this many people. I honestly thought that I may not be teaching in here, maybe taking another room. I didn't know how many people would come to the class, because I thought a lot of people would be like, what? No, a spiritual gift, what's that? You know, I don't care about that. And I didn't think we would have this many people that would be interested in this. And I'm real thankful, because it's very important. And I think that most believers, though, they don't even know what a spiritual gift is, let alone what theirs is. And they don't understand how it relates to their Christian life. They don't understand how their gift relates to other people's lives. They don't understand how it relates to the local church, the body of Christ as a whole. And so I think it's important that we understand the characteristics of spiritual gifts, what they're all about, before we seek to understand specifically what our gift is. It's kind of like, I remember several years ago, I decided I was going to get a shed in my backyard to be able to keep my lawn equipment and all that stuff, you know, and so I was going to get a shed. So I go to this place that sells sheds. And I walk on the property, and man, there must have been 50, 100 sheds, you know. And it's like, well, what in the world? Where do you start? And it's kind of confusing, you know, because I see all these sheds and different sizes, dimensions, different features. And so the guy that was helping me began to explain to me the different characteristics of the different sheds. What are you looking for? And what, you know, and so he began explaining to me the different characteristics, and I had to get that down. I had to understand the basic characteristics of the different sheds before I could figure out which one was to be mine. And in the same way, you have to understand the basic characteristics of spiritual gifts before you seek to understand specifically which one is yours. So we're going to lay a foundation, all right, for this week and probably next week. We're going to lay a foundation, then we're going to hop into all the different gifts, okay? So let's go ahead and go to our handout. Let me give you the first statement. It says that a spiritual gift is the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit can minister through the believer. All right? Let me repeat that. A spiritual gift is the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit can minister through the believer. The Bible teaches that Christ is gone. Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And we are His ambassadors or representatives. And we are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouth. We are here representing Christ in His stead, in His absence. So that's pretty big. I mean, you know, Jesus isn't going to come down and do the work. He's going to work through His ambassadors, through His body. We're the body of Christ. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouth, we're His arms, we're His legs. All those things. So He works through us. Spiritual gifts are the primary channel which the Holy Spirit can minister through you. Without the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit, we can only minister to each other in the flesh. All right? But spiritual gifts are God's provision for the Holy Spirit to minister to people through people. All right? To people through people. You know, we had a guy in the church this week, great family, and he lost his mother. And we went last night to the viewing, and we went and tried to comfort them. You see, God ministers to people through people. And He uses the spiritual gift you've been given to help you to do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go over there. Look at verse number 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. All right, look at it with me. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members of the body, should have the same what? Care one for another. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Verse 20, let's just might as well grab 26 also there. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer," and what's the next two words? "With it." See? "Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, class, listen. I hope you'll get this and understand that God wants to use you in other people's lives. He wants to use you to impact them for Christ. And the means by which He does that is through the spiritual gift that He gave you. God wants to use you. Yes, He does. Some of you are sitting there thinking, "Me? Not me." Yes, you. God wants the body to have care for each other. And He wants us to minister one to another. Well, how's God going to use me? Through the spiritual gifts that He's given you. Now, I know some of you sit out there and you think, "Well, man, I could never do what Pastor Dan's doing. I could never get up there and teach the Bible." And I just want to encourage you. And I want to kind of encourage you by taking you back, you know, several years ago to when I got saved. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I did not know the Bible. And when I got saved, I could not have told you one verse out of that book, not one. But yet I know when I got saved, God gave me the gifts He gave me. And I had to grow. I had to learn what they were. And then I had to grow and I had to learn to use them. And it's just like I told you, the Holy Spirit gives the gift. And then the Lord Jesus Christ shows you how to use it, gives you that place to serve, and then the Father gives the results. And it's true of everybody, not just me. Trust me, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I am not the likely candidate. In fact, those who knew me back in high school, I mean, I don't Facebook and all that stuff, so I don't keep up with all that stuff. You know, people think I'm weird, but I just don't. I just don't do it, you know. I'm just not interested, you know, in it. I'm way too busy, you know, for one thing, to worry about, you know. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But My kids think I'm bizarre. They think I'm a dinosaur, you know. But the people back in high school, probably, if they knew what I was doing, they'd be like, huh? What? He's pastor at a church in Daytona Beach, Florida? You know, I'm not like this likely candidate, okay? So I want to encourage you with that, because sometimes you see somebody where they're at now and you don't realize how far they've come, come a long, long way. And so I want to encourage you, you know. Some of you are sitting out there and you're thinking, man, I could never, ever teach a life group. Or I could never work with kids. I want to, but I could never do it. I could never work with the teens. You know, we got a whole group working with the teens tonight. And I could never do that. Well, you know, we had a lot of people that worked at the camp. Kirk over here, Bauer, he did, him and Martha had a crew, and they did all the cooking at the camp. Fed, how many was it, 120? They fed about 120 teenagers every day. God bless their hearts, amen? And they did a fabulous job. But you know, Kirk, a lot of people out there I know 5 years ago would have never thought they would have been out there. You know, they'd have thought, man, not me. I'd never be working with teens. And there they were, right in the middle of it, having the time of their life, just ministering and helping these teenagers out and encouraging them. So I really, really want to encourage you to find out what your gift is this semester, this, you know, 3-4 months, this Equip for Life class that we're doing. Find out what your gift is, and then don't be afraid to just jump in there and begin to grow and use it, because God can use you. If he can use me, trust me, he can use you. And so let me go to your handout again. It says there, talking about how we're supposed to have care for each other, and it says, this is why God has set different people in the church with diverse gifts. This is why God has set different people in the church with diverse gifts. Go back to chapter 12, please, 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look at verse 4, 5, and 6. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, all different kinds, but the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit gives them. There are differences of administrations, that is the way those gifts are used, but the same Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, there's diversities of operations. In other words, different results that come from those gifts. But it's the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 11, it says, but all these different gifts, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Different gifts. He says there's diversities. We're all different. You know, there are people that you can reach and that you can minister to that I can't, quite frankly. Why? Because you're going to connect with them. Your gifts are going to enable you to connect with certain people that I just will have trouble with connecting with. And I've seen this time and time again. I really have. And I've been able through the years to maybe connect with people that other people couldn't, and I've been able to lead them to the Lord, and man, it's been exciting. It really has. Some of you in here, like Brother Ben, you might remember old A.J. Stefani? I don't know if y'all remember A.J. Stefani, but he was a rough character, man. And I remember the first time I ever talked to him, he was out here picking his family up, and he cussed me up one side and down the other, right out here on the church property. And I said, well, it's nice to meet you too, you know. And I just was real friendly to him and real nice, and, you know, and then the next time it was better, and the next time it was better. And I ended up, you know, I'll never forget, one day he finally came into my office, you know. My office was over there at the time. He came in, and he just threw himself down in the chair in my office, just barged right in. He's from New York, and he was just a real, real rough guy, you know. And he came in, he barged in, and he sat down in my chair, and he looked at me, and I said, hey, Jay. He said, hey. I said, what do you need? You ready to save me? He said. But you know, you can connect with people that I can't. I can connect with people. Why? Because our gifts are different. And there are people that you can reach and that you can minister to that I can't. Why? Because your gift set is different than mine. You know, we all have a spiritual gift set. And you know, maybe 1, 2, 3 different gifts. And yours is probably different than mine. That's okay. That's great. There's diversity. That's awesome. There are people that you can reach I can't reach. Why? Your gift set's different than mine. That's okay. A lot of people get frustrated at the pastor. Can you believe that? Can you believe anybody would get frustrated with me? Jan Camaro, don't answer that. All right. oh, yeah, you remember AJ? But people get frustrated with the pastor. Why? Because they expect him to have all the gifts. You know, they think, well, he's the pastor. He's supposed to have all 10 gifts, you know. And spiritual Superman, right? There's no T-shirt with an S on it under here, okay, guys? It's, you know, I'm one guy, and I got a few gifts, you know. And I don't have all the gifts. I know the ones he's given me, and I know, you know, what my gifts are, and I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, and I know when I'm operating outside the scope of my gifts. I know when I am, because I'm frustrated, you know. And I was talking to a guy recently, and I said, he's in full-time ministry. And I said, so tell me, what do you think your gifts are? What are you good at? He's like, well, you're asking me to brag on myself. He's like, I'm not going to do that. I said, no, I'm not asking you to brag on yourself. I'm just saying, do you know what your gifts are? That's all I'm saying. I said, it's not bragging to know what your gifts are. I said, in fact, you better know what your gifts are, I told him. Because if not, then you won't know what you should be doing, where you fit in the body. And I said, you'll be frustrated. You'll be aggravated because, you know, you'll wonder, well, why isn't this working, you know? And I said, you need to know what you're good at. And I said, what do you think your gifts are? So we went through that, you know, and I went through some of this stuff with him. But you need to know what your gifts are. And, you know, we get frustrated because, you know, if you're looking to me to meet all your needs, you're going to be very disappointed because I don't have all the gifts. And there's things that I'm good at. There's things I'm not really that good at. And that's in your handout. It says that's why we're constantly emphasizing this. Okay, look in your handout. Every believer is a minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. It is a total team effort, see? And I want you to hear this statement now and listen closely. Our full potential as a church, our full potential as a body of believers can only be realized when every believer exercises his or her gifts. We're a body. We're a team. It's like a team. Football team, man, they line up on the line of scrimmage. When they say hike, all 11 guys got to do their job. And it's the same way in a church. We can only realize our full potential when every member is utilizing their gifts. Now, I realize that's wishful thinking. And I realize that there's probably no church where every single member is doing that. But the more people we have doing that, the more productive we'll be, you know? And the more we will be able to reach our potential, the more people that are getting involved using their gift. That's why this class is so important. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. Keep your bookmarker in Corinthians. We're going to go back there. All right? Let's go to 1 Peter, just seeing if you're awake, all right? 1 Peter, you're awake. Some of you, five of you were awake and caught that, amen? 1 Peter 4, no, you guys are great. This is a great class. Everybody's with me. I appreciate that. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, look at it. This is a great verse. Peter writes, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so, what's that next word? Minister. See? Minister, serve the same one to another. Remember, it's we're a body, we're a team. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hey, you know what the bottom line is here? Whatever gift you've got, use it. Whatever gift you've got, use it. You know, don't, you know, as the biblical analogy goes, don't go and hide it. You know, the remember that parable of the talents? And the guy with one talent went and dug it, put it in the ground and hid it. Don't do that. You know? Don't just hide it. Use it. Use it. Listen. People will say this. They'll say, Dan Proctor is our minister. And I know what they mean by that. But it kind of leaves you the idea that we've only got one. You know, and then I'm running around trying to minister and do everything. And it's not true. I mean, one guy can't do it all. Sunday morning, we had 1,000 people here between the two Sunday morning services. Can one guy minister to 1,000 people? No. It's not, when we say Dan Proctor is our minister, it kind of gives the idea I'm running over here to this meeting and that meeting, running here, running there. You know, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been doing deacon training with about 15 guys on Sunday nights and hadn't even been in the service. As far as I know, they still happened. Amen? And I heard they were good. I heard it was great. In fact, I'm thinking about not ever coming back. No, I'm just kidding. But, if Dan Proctor is our minister, well, I know what you mean, but let's talk about it biblically. If we got 1,000 people here, we'll kind of take out, let's be gracious, we'll take out visitors, guests, people who just attend casually, kids. Let's say we got 800, If we got 800, well then, how many ministers should we have? We should have 800 ministers. 800 ministers. And because there are things that you can do more effectively than me. Listen, Kirk Bauer, Martha, they were out there cooking at camp. Awesome, man. I mean, the meals were, the kids couldn't believe it. They said, man, we don't eat this good at home, they said. I mean, it was not a typical teen camp hot dogs and hamburgers. I mean, it was like amazing meals with 4 or 5 vegetables and just, and let me tell, I just want to say this, and I want to make this very clear, okay? You would not have wanted me cooking at camp, all right? I cannot boil water. I mean, I'm serious. I'm terrible in the kitchen. The best idea for me is just to stay out of it because I'm a disaster waiting to happen if I ever get in the kitchen. But you know what? There are people that can do things more effectively than me, and I have no problem admitting that and saying amen. Sunday morning, maybe you see me up here preaching and you think this is, it. It's not. There is so much going on behind the scenes. Don't you thank God for all those ladies watching those babies next door? Amen? And then the children have their ministries, and somebody had to unlock the doors and turn on the AC and turn on the lights, and somebody had to fix the light bulbs that went out that week. And I mean, it's just, there's so much, service the bathrooms, make sure they're ready to go. There is so much that goes on. We got volunteers that come in here. In fact, we've got a care card that's going to be coming out where you can sign up to help with some of the custodial maintenance things, because we have volunteers that come in and do that during the week, and they vacuum these floors and they dust the pulpit and the piano and they do all that. There's so much that goes on. And there's people that can do so many things here better than me. I know my gift. I got 1, 2, 3 gifts, and I know where to use them. But then there's so many things that it's just not effective for me to do it. I'm not gifted to do it. Hey, if one of the church buses or vans need fixing, they're broke down, I am not the most effective guy to fix it. I can promise you. All right? Counseling. I realized years ago my spiritual gift set really didn't lend itself to being a very good counselor. I just wasn't very good at it, we've got a lady in our church that's a certified counselor and on our staff, does a fantastic job. She's gifted for that. She's just good at it. We've got a guy here now, Jim Warren, he's certified now. And through the same organization, he's fantastic. And he works a job, but then he comes over here and he'll counsel couples and different people at night. Does a fantastic, better than I could do. And I have no problem admitting that or saying that. You see, it's a team effort. It's a team. It's everybody working together. And as everyone works together, and you take your gift and use it, and I take my gift and use it, then as we all use our gifts, it makes increase of the body. It makes increase of the body. The body grows. The body's cared for. People are ministered to. It's awesome. It's awesome. Are you all with me? Amen? God wants to minister through every believer. He listen, if you're saved tonight and you know the Lord, you know what? God wanted to do more than just save you. God had more for you than to just save you. You know? God wants to use you. He wants to use you. How? How does He want to do it? Through your fleshly talents and abilities? No. Through the power of the Holy Spirit as He uses your spiritual gifts that He's given to you. It's like, you know, the one year, I forget, it's Father's Day or something, but I got an electric screwdriver. And, you know, you take that thing and you plug it into the wall. And the electricity flows from the wall into the screwdriver. That's the power source, is the electricity flowing into it. But then, when you go to use it, you put the bit on the end, and then the bit is doing the work. But the power source comes from the electricity. Now let me apply that, all right? Let me apply that to our life. The electricity is the power for the drill, just like the Holy Spirit of God is our power. The bit for the tool that does the work, the task, spiritual gifts are the bit, the tool that God gives us for the task of ministering, serving, reaching men and women, and ministering to them for Christ. And for an effective effort, for us to be effective, we need both the Holy Spirit, okay, the power source, but then we need the proper tools, which is the spiritual gifts. So I hope you're getting a vision of this and seeing this. We're laying a foundation. Now, let me give you a statement here in your handout. The Holy Spirit desires to use your spiritual gifts to minister through you. Notice we said through you, not to you. What do I mean? Well, look at it with me in your handout. It said, God did not give us spiritual gifts for self-edification, to build you up and to puff you up. He gave them to you for the edification of the body of Christ. He gave you gifts for the edification of the body of Christ. Will you turn back with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again? And I want to look at a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you all could please turn back there, I'd appreciate that, because that's where we'll probably end up tonight. I don't think we'll be turning again. But go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. All right, look at verse number 25 again. We saw that earlier. But it says there that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members of the body, this is God's plan, the members should have the same care. What's the last three words? One for another. That's the plan. Now, the context of that verse, chapter 12, is spiritual gifts. That's the context. And God gave you, now please stay with me here, because this is where things, I think, really detour sometimes and get off track. Your gifts are not for your edification. They're for others' edification. All right? And that's what I really want you to see. Go to chapter 14 and let me show you something here. Go to chapter 14. Paul is having to rebuke the Corinthians because of the misuse of gifts. Specifically, this chapter, they were misusing a apostolic sign gift at that time that was operative, called the gift of tongues, languages. People could witness, they could edify people with languages that they did not know. Or they could speak and people would be able to understand them in their language. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, he says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue," a language that's not known to anybody, "speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Hey, if I speak German, how many of you would understand me? One? All right. So if I speak German, then I know German, and I'm speaking it. I'm speaking unto God. He understands it because he knows every language. But you wouldn't. So look what he says. He says, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, that's a small s, in other words, in his inner man, he speaks mysteries. See, nobody gets it but him in his spirit. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? There it is, edification and exhortation and comfort. There's some good that comes. In other words, people are helped. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He knows what he's saying. But he that prophesieth edifieth who? Everybody. See, the church. And that's what God's happy with. Look at verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, languages, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive what? I hope you're seeing that word over and over, right? Edification, edify. When the gift of tongues was operative there in the apostolic time period, and people had this gift to be able to speak in these languages, and for people then, he said, look, don't even think about doing it in church unless somebody can interpret what you're saying. Because there'll be no edification to the church. Spiritual gifts are given for the edification of others, not yourself. It's not for you to build yourself up. Your spiritual gift is given to edify and build up others. Look at verse 11. That's the point we don't want to miss. Look at verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the, say it with me, edifying of the church. That's why gifts are given. See? And let's skip down now to verse number 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. That's again your spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned, they don't know that language, say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you're saying. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, here it is, here's that word again, but the other is not what? I hope you're getting this. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now notice, church, how that over and over and over the edification of others, the church, is emphasized. Spiritual gifts are not given for private use to build up ourselves. See, he's rebuking them for that. He's not commending them. And he lays down some specific guidelines here. And the bottom line is that he said it's got to edify and build up and minister to the body, the church. And he said it's great that you're zealous of spiritual gifts, but seek to the edifying of the church. He's, you know, and obviously you guys here tonight are somewhat zealous of spiritual gifts, or you wouldn't be here. You want to know your gift, you want the teaching, you want to excel. That's great. But understand, God says you want to do it to the edifying of the body. See, now spiritual gifts are not meant for your edification, it's for the edification of who? Others. Now, are there other ways that God does build us up? Yeah, I mean, God does have a plan to build you up internally. And that is, he builds you through his word. He builds you through the preaching and teaching that you hear from other people. Other people minister to you, which builds you up. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he's there to comfort, sustain you, and direct and guide you, and all these things. And so God has made provision for your edification. But it's not spiritual gifts. That's not the way he does it. Spiritual gifts are for ministry. They're for ministering. They're for you edifying others, ministering to others. That's why the gifts are given, so that you can minister effectively to other people. All right? I got to move on. I'm almost out of time. You guys have not listened fast enough, all right? So, all right, go to number two. A spiritual gift is a God-given capacity. We'll go through this quick, and next week I'll kind of review it. A lot of Christians have been saved for years, and here's what they'll say. I've heard Christians say this: I just don't have any ability to do anything in the church. God just hasn't given me a gift. In your handout it says, spiritual gifts are not to be viewed as abilities, but as a capacity to develop an ability. Ability implies that you're able to do something. We have to realize we can do nothing. Our fleshly abilities mean nothing. The Corinthians had gifts. They were getting puffed up about them. And Paul made it clear to them, your only sufficiency is in Christ. See, it's Christ. And so remember this, church, a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity. Ability, if we say, boy, he's got ability. That's kind of a state of being, a present tense thing. He's got ability. Capacity gives the idea of future tense. There's a capacity there. In other words, a capacity enables for the future. It's future tense. I'll give you an illustration. Those of you, I love football. So I sometimes use football, and I know sometimes I worry that, you know, the people are thinking, what's he talking about? But I love football, and there's a guy that's won 3 Super Bowls, and he goes to the playoffs almost every year. Every year, he's right in the running to win the Super Bowl. That's Tom Brady. Tom Brady plays for the New England Patriots, and Tom Brady was a backup. Tom Brady backed up. He never really started much in college. He was a backup. He didn't excel in college. He was a backup at Michigan. And then he goes to the Patriots, and he's a backup. He was a 6th-round pick. In case you're wondering if that's good, that's bad. I mean, it's good to get picked, period, but there's only 7 rounds, okay? 6th is next to last. So he was one of the last guys. Nobody wanted him. All 32 teams, all 6 rounds passed on him until the Patriots selected him. Now, Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback. And Tom Brady's won 3 Super Bowls. Now, question, did he always have that ability inside of him to play? Well, yeah, it was there, right? But a lot of coaches missed it, didn't they? A lot of coaches missed it. A lot of general managers missed it. A lot of people missed it, or they never helped him grow and develop that ability. And had the Patriots, had Drew Bledsoe not got hurt, and had he not come in, and had the Patriots not helped him to grow and develop that ability, who knows, it could have lied dormant. He could have sat on the bench his whole career like many guys do, and it would have never been developed. Now, let me apply this to spiritual gifts. If somebody gets saved in church on Sunday, and let's say they get saved, they trust the Lord, and they get the gift of teaching. We know the Holy Spirit gives the gift as soon as you get saved. So they get the gift of teaching on Sunday when they get saved. They don't know it, but they did. Is that guy going to wake up on Monday morning and be a supernatural teacher of the Bible? No. He wakes up with a God-given capacity, though unknown to him. He has a capacity to develop the gift of teaching. I got saved on a Wednesday night. My brother led me to the Lord. And when I got saved, I could not quote one verse of the Bible. Like I told you, I didn't know anything. I couldn't have told you anything about the Bible at all. And so I woke up, I got saved on Wednesday night, didn't know one verse of the Bible. Did you know when I woke up Thursday morning, the morning after I got saved, did you know when I woke up Thursday morning that I could quote the Bible from cover to cover? What are y'all laughing at? You don't believe me? Well, good. Means you're not. Means you didn't just fall off the turnip truck, amen? No, you know what? I woke up Thursday morning. Guess what? I still didn't know one verse of the Bible. And Sunday, the Sunday after I got saved, I wasn't teaching a class in church. All right? I had to develop those gifts. That's my point. A spiritual gift is a capacity. Can a person have a gift and never develop it, and can it lie dormant forever? Yes. And you can go to heaven, stand before the Lord. The Lord says, man, I gave you these gifts. Why didn't you use them? Well, I just didn't have time, or I didn't develop. I didn't, you know, we'll be held accountable for that. What's our responsibility then? In your handout, it says our responsibility is to grow. And I think there's a verse there in your handout. In 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command, grow. And then it says, I think in your handout there, as we grow, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us our gifts and help us to develop those gifts. All right, many Christians are not doing that. They're lying dormant. Why? Well, because they never realize the spiritual gift doesn't come and hit you over the head. All right? A spiritual gift does not come and hit you over the head. It's a God-given capacity. And you have to grow and you got to develop within that capacity. That's good stuff, you know. And I think that as we're getting this, that we're understanding that we're looking around here and we're thinking, man, there's some potential in this room right here. Because probably most of us in here are saved, which means we all have at least a couple of gifts. And there's a great potential. That doesn't mean we're going to meet the potential, but the potential's there. So it's a God-given capacity. It's the means by which the Holy Spirit uses you, those gifts. All right, that's good enough for tonight. Next week we'll come back. I'm going to give you about three more principles here on spiritual gifts, the characteristics. And then we're going to start getting into the gifts one by one. And like I said, I think that by the end, if you hear them all, I think you'll be able to, probably most likely, the Holy Spirit will show you and reveal to you what gift is yours, okay? So great to have you tonight. Thank you for being here.